Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you've been with us the last 3 weeks, you know we've been talking about the New Testament church and Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind, and what an exciting event that was, what a revelation it was to the people to receive the baptism, the total immersion of the Holy Spirit. And so it invigorated them, it energized them, it gave them the impetus to be missionaries and to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God and to go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth to share the good news of the gospel. And that is God's wish and that is His will for each and every person, that we become ambassadors for the kingdom, that we go and share the good news to those who don't know about Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. Jesus came to save sinners from their sin, and so if you have been saved from your sin, then you should feel the joy and the desire to go and share with others the blessings that you have been given through the kingdom of God. Well, last week we talked about the four things in Acts 2:42, the four things that were common to the New Testament church. And it says in Acts 2:42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." So those were what we called the hallmarks of the New Testament church. And if your church does not have that, if your church does not offer good, strong teaching and fellowship, or you really feel a desire to be connected with the saints in the church, if you really feel a strong desire to feel in brotherhood and sisterhood with the saints of church, if you don't feel that, then maybe you should look for another church. There's lots of good churches out there, and I encourage you to be in one. I encourage you to set your pride aside. For those of you who are not going to church, just set your pride aside and walk into a church and join in that fellowship, join in with others who want to pray and want to encourage each other and stimulate each other to good works and to good deeds. And then the last two things, the hallmarks, were the breaking of bread, that is in communion and remembering Jesus each and every week as they gather together, and in prayers. A praying church is a strong church, and a praying church fulfills the will of God. Jesus said, "Let my house be a house of prayer." And so if your church is meeting and they are praying together in small groups and corporately in the large group, that is a great thing. Where two or three are gathered, the Holy Spirit is among you, and when you ask whatever you wish for the kingdom, it shall be granted unto you. And so that is a great thing. It is a blessing to be able to gather with other saints and pray for the kingdom of God and pray for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, then in verse 43, I'm going to take up here in 43, there were a couple more things that were established in the early New Testament church, and there were signs, wonders, and miracles. It tells us in verse 43 that there was signs, wonders, and miracles were prevalent in the New Testament church. In verse 43 it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common." And so that is the second thing that was prevalent in the New Testament church, is that people had a desire to share with each other when there was one that had need among the group. That there was a desire and a willingness to share and to give and to share the blessings where one had been blessed financially, where one had been blessed with crops or with food or clothing or whatever. There was a willingness to share. And that was a hallmark as well of the New Testament church. And so we're going to focus on these two things, the signs, wonders, and miracles, and the desire to share. We're going to focus in on those two things and see what God has for this church, this day, this year, here in America and across the earth. Verse 43, it says that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. You can imagine that people were in amazement, that people were astonished at some of the things that were happening. At Pentecost, all the people started hearing the gospel message in their own tongue, in their own native language, and then signs, wonders, and miracles started to break out, and they were in awe. The people were in fear. And I believe that is one thing we lack here in America, is we don't have fear of God. We have lost our respect for the mighty God we serve. We have lost the respect of what an awesome God, what a miracle-working God He really truly is. And we've lost that respect. We've lost that awe-struck wonder that the early Christians have. And I pray that if you ask the Lord to show you His power and His strength, don't run the other way. If He opens up a door for you to see His power through signs, wonders, through miracles, be in expectation that we serve a miracle-working God. Be in expectation that God is able to do mighty things in your life and in the life of others, to heal their physical bodies, to turn their financial situation around, to bring people in their families and in your family, bring them to salvation, to a point of salvation. God is a miracle-working God. And if we get in the habit of asking God to show Himself mighty to save, and show Himself mighty to heal, and show Himself mighty to turn people's situations around that are in desperate situations, God will show Himself mighty to do that. He wants us to be in reverence and in fear of Him, and He wants us to believe that He is a supernatural God, that He is a God of miracles, that He is a God of healings, that He is a God who rewards great faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. For those who come to Him must know that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so as we seek the Lord, as we are diligent in our seeking Him and diligent in our love for Him and our desire to serve Him, He will show Himself mighty to save, mighty to deliver, mighty to break through, and mighty as He and only He is and can be in your life. Well, in 2 Corinthians 12:12, Paul describes himself, the Apostle Paul describes himself this way. He said, "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." And so Paul says that he himself was proven to them to be an apostle by signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so that is the apostolic calling, that we have apostles among us who have that signs, wonders, and miracle anointing on them, that when they pray for people, things happen. When they pray for people, there are miracles, that when they speak to people, things happen, and the anointing breaks every yoke. And so believe for miracles, believe for signs and wonders, because Paul says that is the sign of a true apostle. Down in Acts chapter 3, we're going to take a look at an example of a miraculous healing. In Acts 3 verse 1, it says, "Peter and John went up to the temple at the ninth hour to pray. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, and who, seeing Peter and John go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Well, beloved, God is giving you this message today. What He has for you is not silver and gold, although He may bless your finances. He does have a desire to bless your finances, but that's not primarily what He has for you. What He has for you today is salvation. What He has for you today is healing. What He has for you today is to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's some of you out there that you've been chasing silver and gold your whole life. That's all you know. That is your whole life, is to chase silver and gold and to try to hoard up and to try to store up silver and gold. And God is saying to you today, He has something much greater for you. Your silver and your gold is going to eventually come to rust. Your silver and your gold is not going to be of any value when you attempt to enter the kingdom of God and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your silver and your gold will be of no value to you. You can't take it with you. There is not going to be any benefit of your money to you. It may benefit your descendants, but there will not be any benefit to you of all the silver and the gold that you have accumulated in the days of your life if you don't know Jesus Christ. You're just going to have a nicer suit when you go into that casket, and that's about the sum of it. And so God has something much greater for you today. He wants to introduce you to His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants you to come to Him and to confess your sins and to get down on your knees and repent of your wicked ways and say, Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner. I come to you to repent. I come to you to ask for forgiveness. And if you will do that today, then God will receive your confession. He will bless you. You will be saved. And all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And if you will follow that up with Christian baptism, with immersion baptism, and prepare yourself to enter the kingdom of heaven, then God will bless your finances. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you in every way, in your finances, in your soul, and He wants to bless your body physically. And if you will confess Him today and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus will be faithful and true in His promise to you. Peter's situation, it says he took the man by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Well, God gives signs and wonders. He gives miracles primarily for two reasons. First of all, to bless the person who is asking in faith, and to bless that person who comes to the Lord with the innocence of a child and asks in faith for healing or deliverance. God is not stingy. He's not a miser. He is not one who wants to withhold gifts from you. And James 1:17 tells us every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. In Him there is no change or shifting shadow. And so God, He doesn't go against His promises. He doesn't go against His wish for you to be healed, to be delivered. And He wants you to rise up out of your situation, whatever it is. He wants you to rise up. If you are crippled in your situation, I'm speaking symbolically here. If you are downtrodden and broken in your situation, God wants to raise you up into newness of life. He wants to give you new life and strengthen you and encourage you. Verse 11, as the lame man was held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus Christ, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And His name," he was talking about Jesus, "and His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, who you now see and who you know. Yes, the faith which comes through Jesus has given this man the perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Jesus Christ can make you sound. Jesus Christ can make you whole. It is His will that you be made whole. It is His will that He heal you. If you just come to Him just like this lame beggar did, if you just come to Him and you allow the power and presence of the Holy Spirit spoken through the prophet or spoken through anyone who speaks the Word of God to come into you and you receive it, God will heal you, He will bless you, He will strengthen you, and you will get up on your feet and you will praise God, and the people will be in amazement. That's the second reason God gives miracles and healings. He wants other people to witness. He wants other people to see the testimony of those who have been healed, of those who have been blessed, of those who have been strengthened. He wants those who have received that blessing from the Lord and from the kingdom of God to then testify about what great and mighty things God has done in their life. Back to Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, that's the prescription for church growth. That's the prescription for adding to the kingdom of God, is that you reach out and you touch someone who doesn't know Jesus, that you reach out and touch someone who is trapped in their bondage, trapped in addictions, trapped in financial difficulty, result of their own poor decisions or natural disaster or whatever circumstance has come into their life to cause them to be broken. This is God's will, that you reach out and touch them. If you're a believer today and you don't have a ministry to broken people, you need to get started. You need to occupy, and you need to reach out to people. Matthew 25:33, Jesus tells about those who are the least in the kingdom of God, and he says, reach out to these, to those that need food, and to those that need shelter, and to those that are thirsty, and to those who have no clothing, and the aliens, that is, the strangers among us, and those who are sick and in prison. And Jesus says, if you'll reach out to these, if you'll touch these, whatever you've done to the least of these of mine, you've also done it unto me. And so Jesus said, when you reach out to these people, these who are in need, these who are hurting, when Jesus said, when you reach out to them, then you have ministered not only to them, but you've ministered unto me. And so that is God's will, that you get started reaching out and touching, and you get started sharing. If you have something that someone needs and you don't need it, if you have excess and extra, you bless them with it. You bless people with food. You bless them with shelter. You bless them with water. You open up your home to people that need a place to stay. You open up your home to people who need food. And this isn't a prescription for communism. You don't put in all of your stuff into a common till and then divide it up. This isn't a prescription for income inequality correction and wealth redistribution. This is a prescription for those who have been blessed by the kingdom to share and to bless others who may have needs. And as God puts it on your heart, it isn't a requirement of the government. It isn't a legalistic attitude. It isn't a legalistic fulfillment. It is as the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart, and he brings people into your life who have needs. He brings people into your life who have desires that they can't fulfill because they don't have a car, they don't have clothing, they don't have a shelter or whatever. There's men in the prison that need visits. There's people in the hospital that need visits. And so, again, this is not a picture of socialism at work. This is a picture of the kingdom of God. And as people are blessed and as people have multiplication of finances, as people have multiplication of resources in their life, food or clothing or shelter or whatever, that they share them as the Holy Spirit prompts them and as the Holy Spirit brings people into their life for them to bless. And so we see a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God at work. We see a beautiful picture here of the New Testament church, and I praise God that many, many churches, most all churches, have subscribed to this formula, have subscribed to this pattern, this template, and they have been instruments of righteousness, they've been instruments of good works, and they have blessed people who have been in natural disasters, in hurricanes, and in earthquakes and in tornadoes and all kinds of calamity, and they bless people in the prisons, and they bless people who have been in hospitals and You know, God has put it on my heart to build an orphanage for people in Kenya, for young people, children in Kenya, and we're in the process of doing that now. And it isn't about my glory, it isn't about bringing any accolades to me, and in fact, the property won't be in my name, it'll be in the name of a church over in Kenya, and we just ask the Lord to continue to provide so that these children can be taken off the streets of Kenya. Children will not be exploited and will not be sold into sex slavery and trafficking. And these children will have a chance to grow up and be strong men and women, mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. That is His will. And so if you want to be a part of that project, I pray that you get in touch with me. And I just thank the Lord that He has given me the opportunity to serve the kingdom in this way. Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to come to know Him today. You need to be ready. You don't know how many days or months or years you have left on this earth, and so you need to be ready. And as you get ready, as you prepare to meet your Creator and meet your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will have a clear conscience as you serve Him on this earth, and you will have a clear conscience as you stand before Him on that final day. Well, if you make any kind of decision, beloved, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know, and I will rejoice with you, get you some materials to start you on your Christian walk, and you will become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, it's been great to be with you today. I hope you tune in again next week. God bless you. Have a great week.